I want to go where culture is.
It's going to be for us, but also for young people.
We are millennials.
Yes, we can.
This place is freaking awesome.
Real happy you like it.
You better lawyer up, asshole.
You just got to reach your threshold and run past it.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Fan Behavior. I am Zoe, and as always, I am here with Hannah.
Hi, everyone.
We are decked out in our F1 merch.
True.
Hannah's got her Valtteri Bottas hat on that we will get to because she...
Yeah, I didn't get enough hang time at the GP, so...
No, but it's very cute. You did pay...
A significant amount of money.
So good. Good to get use out of it. I as well paid a significant amount of money for the merchandise.
I think your sweatshirt and my hat cost the same amount of money.
No.
Close?
This is more expensive, but...
Not by much. Not by enough for that to be...
Sure.
Yeah, anyway, sorry.
But anyway, glad that we're making millionaires richer.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for the economy.
It's good for someone's economy, I guess. I don't know.
It's not...
Not for mine.
But it's fun. It's fun to have things.
One day it'll come back to us, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So today's episode, we are doing things different. I feel like every week we've done things different. At least the last couple of weeks.
It's fun.
We're going to get back on schedule next week, you guys. Don't worry. We're going to get back to our regular scheduled programming. But this week, we are recapping our Austin COTA USGP adventures because a lot happened. We need to break it all down.
Mm-hmm.
But also, people have questions, would like to know what it's like to go to a Formula One race, our experience. It was our first Formula One race. So being newbies, as we were, I guess, because now we're not. We have some insight,
sure do.
Some thoughts, some comments,
critiques,
all the things. So we're just going to break it down. We're going to take you from when we left our homes on Thursday morning to when we returned back to our homes Monday night, right? That was the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Monday night.
Maybe we'll get to it, but I didn't actually, and probably it's because I didn't drive as much as you did, but
yeah, no, it was fine. It was just like, it wasn't terrible. It was just like, by the time we got to my driveway, I was like, I'd like to sleep for 4 days now.
Right, right. So let's begin at the start.
Got to.
Thursday morning, I pick up Hannah from her home and we drive to Dallas.
And how many suitcases did I have?
Hannah literally walks out of her parents' house. And she has like a giant suitcase. I'm like, oh, okay. This is a big suitcase. And she's like, I have one more inside. They were huge. I'm not kidding you, Hannah. You packed like you were going to be in Europe for 2 months.
I know. So here's what happened.
Literally.
I panicked because I was back for 2 seconds from Chicago and then I was turning around. So it was like, I did laundry and sometimes it's just easier to put your clean laundry back in your suitcase than mm-hmm. to give it any sort of energy. And since we weren't getting on a plane and you had made the comment the night before that we had extra space, it was just like, I don't want to be there and be like pissed about what I'm wearing and be like, oh, I should have just packed it. And that's not the efficient thing to do by any means. But and I wore everything I thought I would.
Okay.
And nothing I didn't think I would, which is too bad. But it's okay.
Yeah.
My cross to bear.
It's okay. Yeah. And the fact that we were driving definitely makes it a lot easier because it's like, who cares? As long as it fits in the car, then everything's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a bit shocking to see.
I'm surprised you're shocked. Most people, like, I don't know.
What?
I'm surprised that you were shocked that I packed that way.
Because it's you or because...
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know that we've really like...
Yeah, I guess...
Traveled that
Yeah,
much.
That's fair.
Like we haven't...
We lived away together, but
right.
We haven't
we've
actually
never
been
really
on like trips.
Trying to think of like the last trip we went on together.
Was it Chicago?
Like in college? Well, I think I was going to say like Vegas. We went to Vegas.
Oh, that's true. But yeah, and we were going carry on only. Yeah, it was a weird time. I just felt like there was a lot of stakes involved.
Yeah.
And I just felt whelmed and I just thought,
Right. I mean, I'm the person who packs a carry on suitcase to go to Europe for 2 weeks. I'm a very light packer. I'm essentials only. I don't like having a bunch of shit. So,
which I love. I wish I could be that way. Unfortunately. Yeah.
Next year, when I go back, I might have to change my tune a little bit because I got to be prepared for all different, occasions and mm-hmm. possibilities. But
I did pack the same amount when I was gone for 7 days
right.
for my like work trip and
right.
Chicago. So, yeah, right. That's not good. But Anyway, we can move on from that.
No, it's okay. So we began our journey to Dallas. We spent the night in Dallas on Thursday, and we listened to podcasts, we listened to music. But I think the highlight of the drive, and you'll have to correct me if you think otherwise, but I think it was for you as well, was our High School Musical song discovery.
Fantastic.
So we were, I can't remember how, probably, I think it's because we were on shuffle. Like we were playing, I think one of the songs happened to come up on shuffle.
Yeah. Well, was it with the Lando Daniel dancing? Did we see that
maybe,
first?
Maybe.
Or did the song come on first?
Yes, you're good. Yes. Okay. So yeah, we saw a video because this is Thursday.
But that doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not make sense.
It was Friday when we left Dallas to go.
It was Thursday. It was Thursday.
How interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It okay. Was well, then the discovery on Thursday helped us,
I think, come connect the dots.
Okay.
So we'll get to that part.
Interesting.
But we were, because originally we said that song was Mick asking people if he could be on their team.
True. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, Zoe's really good at DJing. So
yeah, so we were driving on Thursday and one of the songs came on, HSM songs came on, and we started assigning these songs to various Formula One drivers and Formula One
adjacent
situations.
Folk, yeah.
For example, we decided that did we say the boys are back? What did we say about the boys are back?
Well, at first, because I think there was a Twitter thread that had assigned that song to Yuki, but we decided that it's Pierre and Esteban. The boys are back,
Boys are back. The boys are back. Gonna do it again. Gonna wake up the neighborhood.
Yes. Yes, yes. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Right here, right now, we said that was somebody. Who did we say that was?
No.
It was,
should have wrote this.
I know. Was it? It was like someone that's more into somebody than the other person. And we know, we said it was Max. We said it was Max and Christian.
Oh yes,
and that Checo is sitting on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
Right here, right now.
But the real gem that we discovered was I put on the song "Fabulous" from HSM2. Now I will clip it here for those who maybe haven't heard it in a while.
Fabulous, that is my sample request. Always.
Definitely give it a re-listen.
And we decided that this is Helmut Marko's song. Because,
it just is.
It just is. What was the line that we kept singing? The part we kept singing?
Read my lips. And then if you just picture him, if you remember the scene, Sharpay's just like floating on a lime wedge in the pool. And I just want everyone to take that same visual and picture Helmut Marko in some swim trunks on the lime slice in the middle of the pool.
But for those who don't know, he's like the head advisor of Rebel Racing, and he's like in charge of the development program at Rebel. He's basically like Christian sort of overseer, whatever, but he looks like the Crypt Keeper. No offense.
No, he does. I just didn't know.
Problematic, so we can all make fun of him, and because he's a bit, yeah,
it's an issue,
old school. But the part that made me laugh the most was like, "This won't do.
That's no more."
Saying that, like,
I need
him. That's him, like discarding Pierre Gasly,
yeah,
discarding Alex Albon, mm-hmm, like pushing the junior drivers out of the way because all he cares about is Max.
Mm-hmm. Very funny.
It was very funny. So, if you are an HSM fan, or you've watched HSM2, or if you've heard that song before, go back, listen to it again, and listen to it as if Helmut Marko is singing it.
Yeah,
and you will laugh.
Yeah,
it's quite funny.
But then that's when we decided that Can I Have This Dance belongs to Daniel and Lando.
It's like catching lightning, the chances of finding someone like you.
From their slow dance, which was really a two-step at the driver experience on Friday,
yes,
which we just saw video clips of. We were not there, unfortunately. But then, what's it called? The song from HSM3?
Which one?
It's Sharpay and Ryan.
Oh, Oh my gosh. Please. I want it all.
Yes. Okay. So guys, I'm not joking you. Like, we're, this song is literally playing and we drive by this casino that like every corner of this casino is a different, like London, Paris. Yeah,
it's,
and
it
was like
a Big Ben sort of, or like a House of Parliament style. It all looks like it looks very Vegas-y in terms of it. Like, it looks like, yeah, it's different cities.
But it was just weird because like we came across the cities being screamed at by Ryan and Sharpay. At the moment they were, it was very really weird. Funny.
And yeah. Scream, we also decided it was Daniel's.
Yeah.
Song.
Oh, which is such a banger. I mean, honestly, guys, even if you don't feel like making the comparisons yourself, like, it's worth a re-listen to HSM 2 and 3. And, you know, there's some okay on H&M 1, but it's Drew Seeley, which just doesn't do the same justice.
No.
Maybe they'll come out with a re-record.
We had a nice emotional moment with the song High School Musical from HSM 3.
Oh my gosh.
Envisioning it being Daniel and Seb's last sort
yeah,
of like.
I tear up every time I hear that song. High School Musical. It's super. I mean, I had goosebumps. I feel like such a loser because it's, you know.
Oh, but this whole thing, no. What it really was the whole thing was, it was the our friends, which we'll get to, Caroline, her
yes
amazing TikTok video to Gotta Go My Own Way.
Yes.
M2 about Pierre and Yuki. Yeah, and Pierre having to go his own way and Yuki being very sad. So
yeah, that's great.
Anyway,
that was very well done.
We're still all over the place, you know.
Always will be.
But so then we get to Dallas and we're just treated to another wonderful gift, which was Taylor Swift's album Midnights. But in order to do so, well, prior to the album coming out, Hannah had to watch football, but you were engaged.
I was fine. Well, I was more engaged than I think, honestly. So just as quick sidebar, for no one cares about it, but I'm going to give it you the context anyway. Football made no sense to me forever. And it's not like I've fully connected the dots, but when Zoe and I were living in New York, the Super Bowl was on. And if I'm going to watch the thing, like, I don't want to not know what's going on. So Zoe explained football to me in a way that no one else was able to do before because it started to make sense. So I know enough to be entertained watching it. And I was only watching it because Taylor was making a big announcement. And of course, we couldn't know when in the third quarter she was going to do it. So we just had to be, you know, prepared. And the hotels that we stayed in could not afford Chromecasting. And so I was having to watch on my phone.
Yes. But, and Taylor dropped a little surprise teaser of her videos that she's putting out for this album. And then we had to suffer through Al Michaels, if anyone's familiar with NFL announcers.
Do you think he wrote the article that came out today about Brad Pitt and Formula One?
No.
Or you think it was someone else?
But so they show the teaser, and then, you know, the cuts back to the game, and Al Michaels goes, you have sons.
Yeah.
You have three sons, but if you had daughters, they'd be all, I can't remember the exact verse.
But that's basically it. If you had daughters, they'd be all over it. And I went, excuse me, one, if he had daughters, maybe they would hate Taylor Swift. And why would you assume his sons don't like Taylor Swift?
Right.
It was infuriating.
This idea that only girls like Taylor Swift. And if you know, boys don't like Taylor Swift. It was very archaic thinking. Al Michaels, I'm going to call you out.
It was just a completely unnecessary comment. Yeah. Like the amount of comments like that are made literally don't have to happen. And so I don't understand why they do.
Very, very dumb. But anyway. And so then Friday we wake up and we make our way to Austin. Arrive, we have a little lunch. Anything else happen, Austin, during the day? Not that I can really think of.
Not really. We couldn't really figure out, because we knew we needed to get to the hotel because of the events that we had in the evening. But we kind of wanted to explore downtown. Anyway, downtown wasn't as popping as I thought it would be, because I think people that either weren't in town yet, or the people that were there for GP stuff were already at Coda. And so it was a lot of, like, you know, work people on their lunch breaks. So.
Right. We did, however, identify a hotel during that time.
That's true.
Where we thought potentially maybe Formula One drivers, Formula One adjacent people would be saying it was the JW.
Correct.
That comes back to play later. So just get prepared. So we go to our hotel. We get ready because that night we were going to the Two Girls One Formula bar crawl, which was quite the experience. And again, we'll get there. But the party theme was Space Cowboy, wig Space Cowboy. Now, I dressed like, what did you say? I looked like
Taylor Swift Fearless.
Taylor Swift Fearless. I was wearing,
but like in a good way.
Sure. Yeah, in a good way. I was wearing black cowboy boots, a sparkly black dress, a jean jacket. Now, I didn't have curly hair. I also thought I looked like Hannah Montana, best of both worlds. So I looked straight out of 2008, which was fine.
She looked fabulous, guys.
No. It was fine. Like,
it was for the theme.
It was a costumey look.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. It wasn't what I would wear every day. Or I also thought I looked like I was going to ninth grade homecoming.
Yeah, you did say, you kept saying that a lot.
Yeah. But, you know, it's all good. Hannah, you looked more like a person going out on the town.
Sure. Well, because I hadn't changed into my Space Cowboy top yet. So I was just in my leather pants from Target. So they're not really leather. I don't know what material they are.
Leather.
And then, yeah, like a tank top situation.
Yes. So we go to dinner. We ate at this place called Swift's Attic, which was very cool.
Very apropos.
Very. Yeah. I don't think we planned it. I don't know if we knew her album was coming out, but it worked out well that we went to her attic on the day of her album being dropped. We were those losers watching sports on our phone in the restaurant.
When I say I've never understood the plight of the boyfriend who's watching, or girlfriend who's watching Sunday like football at brunch and like will not pull themselves from the TV. Like I remember when I was at the wedding in Seattle, I mean, you would have thought that the earth, like their whole day was going to like live and die by this game.
Right.
But I get it now. And so to all the, and in this situation, they were all men. So to all the men, I'm sorry for berating you. I understand now.
Yeah. And we were not even watching a game.
No.
We're watching practice, which Allen Iverson, insert Allen Iverson quote here.
We talking about practice, not a game. We talking about practice.
If you know, you know. But it was a gorgeous, stunning time to be watching. It was free practice. It was this FP2.
FP2, yeah.
But it was a stunning, because it was like 6 p.m.
It was gorgeous.
So the sun was setting.
Golden hour.
It was beautiful. And it ended with Charles Leclerc, Valtteri Bottas, and Daniel Ricciardo 1-2-3, which so the weekend should have just been like,
yeah, we should have just canceled everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, we were done.
Awarded points and moved on.
Yes, exactly. So then after dinner, we decide we had some time to kill. And we're like, let's go back to that hotel, get a drink there, hang out, and maybe see people.
Yeah, because I'm big about, and we do this, but like, I don't want to like wait. And it's fine. Whoever does this, like that, live your life. But I'm not a like wait at the bottom of the elevator, wait at the front door kind of person. I'm very much like, I want to, let's put ourselves in the vicinity in hopes of an organic interaction, which obviously is not super organic if we're putting ourselves in the vicinity, but you know.
Right. And we ended up getting a nice place outside, kind of this outdoor bar area, sat down. We then quickly realized that this was not the hotel.
Well, it's the hotel of some of them, not all of them.
Yeah.
I thought Carlos was coming out of that hotel and getting into his Ferrari. And then we learned that they were at the Four Seasons.
No, they were at the Fairmont.
Oh, the Fairmont.
Yeah. Anyway. It doesn't matter.
Go ahead.
You explain the first sighting that we had.
Oh yes. Okay. So we're sitting there, and we knew that Carmen was coming to town, which we were very excited about because we were hoping that we would get a glimpse of her. So this was the story.
George.
Yeah. Oh yeah. George Russell's
for those who maybe don't know.
She is currently our favorite wag. Yep. And I would say it's probably because I feel like I see her stuff the most.
Yes.
That's nothing against any of the other wags. Just feel a kinship to her for some reason. Anyway,
also like she's, and a lot of the others are as well, but it's because also she's like a working woman.
Yeah,
she,
but like a 9-to-5 work, like a it's a more woman. Relatable, like, yeah, she's just like a normal working gal. Not, I mean, obviously models work too and all that, and like I don't know what the other girls do, but I know that they just have maybe actors, more influencer type, yeah, jobs.
Yeah.
Which I mean, is great.
Tiffany
as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Unusual job. But and also she shows up, she shows out.
She sure does.
Yeah.
She's like, it's my time to shine. Yeah. This is, you know, work week is over and here are my outfits. And she did not disappoint one iota.
Yes.
I understand now why George talks about her all of the time.
Yeah.
And I support it. So anyway, we're sitting at the little patio area and we saw Carmen like she had walked out of the hotel and crossed the street. So that felt really exciting.
Yeah, we both looked at each other and we're like, and you were like, is that Carmen? I was like, I think so. But we both, it was because she was so kind of understated.
Yeah.
It was almost
like so hard, quick. Yeah.
Hard to, I don't know. Sometimes you're just, you don't fully know that you see someone until they've already completely gone, you know,
yeah.
or left. I don't know. But then the real drama begins.
Yeah, it's a fun
I would
one.
Like you to tell this.
I would like story. To tell it as well.
Yes.
So these, whenever, especially when I'm like actively in the periphery of stuff, like my, I mean, you, if you've listened to our Taylor Swift episode and heard my Harry Styles concert story at the beginning, you know, like I'm just always trying to stay aware of potential connections.
Yes.
And so these three guys walk in. They're older. I would say what, mid 40s? Who cares?
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
seems irrelevant.
Yeah,
but
I'd say like between 40, 50, yeah. like that.
But they have like not credentials, but they have like passes around their neck, like paddock passes or, you know,
VIP passes.
Yeah, like I could tell that they, you know, you don't just get, it's not like they got a, you know, what's the, like a souvenir lanyard because they bought a ticket. You know, it's like, we're, yeah. And I hate when they do that. They're like, here's your VIP laminate. It's like, this doesn't do anything. It's a piece of plastic. Anyway. So I knew that wasn't the case. And he, what the guy, the main character in this particular story, well, one of the main characters, was wearing a Red Bull jersey.
Well, like a polo.
Yeah, but it had Renault on it. So we knew that he knew what was up for a while. Like, well, he'd been around.
Yeah, he was old school guy.
Yeah.
Old school, I say in quotes, like
yeah,
6 years ago.
So nothing like really happens, but, you know, I'm just kind of keeping, you know, I'm just like trying to maintain awareness about like, is anyone going to meet them? Like, do they, like, I didn't know if he works for Red Bull or was like maybe someone that I should know, like if he was celebrity adjacent or anything like that. So I was just kind of, you know, eyes peeled. And then this other gentleman joined them and it seemed like they were kind of friends, but there was also something that just felt kind of off. Honestly, it's because of how he was dressed. So like he, it all made sense. But then he was wearing, was it like an Armani Exchange t-shirt?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, you've, he like had this, you know, hat on and he kind of looked, but then when he turned around, I was like, oh, why are you wearing an Armani? Anyway, it just, for some reason, it was a red flag.
It was off.
So at some point, he comes over to Zoe and I and he's like paying his tab or whatever. He's like signing his check and he's like, what are you two beautiful ladies doing all by yourself? That's not what he sounded like. I don't know why I said it like that. And he was like, are you, in the same breath, he was like, are you married? And I was like, yeah, we are, because I don't have time for you. You're not wearing a credential.
We're not married.
No, guys. Not to each other or to anyone else. But I he
We're
doesn't
married
know.
To Formula One.
Yeah, exactly. The game. And anyway, he was just kind of odd. I mean, he was harmless. And so he like went to bring take his check back and then he like came back over. And I really don't remember what he was saying, because right at the same time, the security guard comes over and was like very like low key, but was like, sir, can I talk to you for a second? And the guy was like, yeah, of course. So he pulls him over and I don't really hear what's going on, but it became very clear that he was being asked to leave. Which was interesting because, I mean, he was like kind of, he seemed harmless, just like maybe annoying. But apparently someone had complained about him and we found out later that he like does this a lot. He comes here a lot and like pretends that he knows all these people and that he's like super rich. And
well, you also, he was talking about all the cars he owned. Do you remember?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, this car, it was like a Porsche and something out like a Lamborghini or something. And I was just like, if you have those cars, you don't talk about it to random people you've just met. Like, I don't believe you. And if you do, that's awesome. Yeah, it's like, that's gross. Like, yeah. Anyway. Also, that don't impress me much. You know, like, I don't... You're not Daniel Ricciardo. Like, I don't care. And so anyway, he was being asked to leave. And because he is probably a pathological lying narcissist, he put up a real fight with the fact that he had to leave.
Yeah.
And not like physical, but, you know, he, it almost seemed like he was having a fake phone call with someone.
Yeah, I guess he did, because the security guy came back and said he did call.
Oh, yeah. He called the front desk from outside to complain. And I was just like, sir, you come here. Basically, the gist was like, you come here all the time. We know who you are. We know that the complaints are legitimate because I'm sure that the hotel staff also hates him. And so I was like, you need to leave. Like, just go home. But he just like kept pacing around. Anyway, he was being weird. But I kept looking. The guys at the bar had kind of turned around because their backs were to us, but they were turning around to kind of watch the chaos ensue. And I kept making eye contact with the guy in the Red Bull shirt, kind of like, ha ha, laughing, thinking that I was like, are you going to go get your friend? And anyway, at some point he was like, why did you have him kicked out? I was like, I didn't kick him out. I thought you kicked him out. And anyway, he came over and was talking like, what are you guys doing here? Blah, blah, blah. And we told him that we were here for the
But it was totally not weird or
not weird at all. He was so like dad of a friend.
Well, because like, and we even said, we were like, he's old enough to be our dad. We said this about the other guy. We're like, that guy's old enough to be our dad. He was like, oh my god, yeah. And like, he was probably the same age as that guy. Like, he wasn't trying to
no he was such a chiller, and he wanted the tea. Like, he came over to try and understand what was going on. Like,
it was not a creepy weird situation.
No, not at all. But of course, I mean, now that you're here, and I had what, couple of ranch waters at that point. So I thought, yeah, let's talk about that cute little badge around your neck. What's going on there? Anyway, so we got talking. I guess he used to work for Red Bull. He doesn't anymore. Real shame. And he was talking about, he was like, well, I have tickets he's like, I have me plus two to this Ferrari party tonight, but like, my friends are really tired. I want to go home. Like, you should take them. And I was like,
he also said he had tickets to the Red Bull,
but not to give to us.
I know, but I know.
Yeah, he was not going to miss the Red Bull after party.
Well, he might have, because he was going to that Austin soccer game, the FC soccer game, which was on Sunday night.
Okay, well, you needed to play that up a little bit more then, because I clearly wasn't dialed in.
Yeah, and we know what happened at the Austin.
Yeah, holy crap. Anyway, so maybe missed opportunity, but I'm not taking full responsibility for that.
I'm not putting blame on you. I know. We as a collective could have done better there.
Yeah, we could have next time. And maybe next time we'll have our own invitations to the Red Bull after party manifest. But anyway, so I was like, sure, what do we have to, I mean, at this point we're hanging out, we're kind of waiting for the bar crawl to start, and we were just like, sure, why not? And the party was just like down the street. So I'm kind of nervous because did he text it to me?
I think he did. Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah.
So he sent me the save the date kind of invitation thing. And then I like took down his name and like how he got invited or whatever. Cause I was just like, I'm a noob. Like, I don't, no one's going to expect me at the door, you know? And so anyway,
turns out they don't give a shit.
No, that not even at all. She saw, I was like, hi, we got our tickets from, and she's like, oh, I see it. You guys are good. I was like, okay. So that was interesting, and it was really, I don't know. It was, first of all, I want to be very clear. I didn't realize what was happening, but it was the Ferrari wine party. It was not the Ferrari team party.
It wasn't Scuderia Ferrari.
No, it was not. And that's fine. There were some cool cars there. We walked in and it was just like, I don't even think people were like, why are they here? But everyone was trying to understand who's who and why they were invited or what they're doing there. And it felt like people knew we weren't quote unquote supposed to be there.
I didn't pick up on that.
Maybe I'm just insecure or nervous and felt, but yeah, so we got
You weren't the one dressed like Hannah Montana.
You looked great, Zoe. Stop talking about being dressed like Hannah Montana.
I'm just saying, if someone were to look out of place, it was me in the Hannah Montana outfit.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
And it was like so quiet. Outside, like when we went outside, so
outside, yeah.
We got some champs and in the cool like Ferrari
wine glasses, which we did take.
Yeah, the champagne flutes, we definitely took those because
they're also plastic.
Yeah, they were like a really classy plastic, but yeah, we definitely have those. We should when we change our set, we should put them on the table.
Yeah.
And then we went outside because there were some like actual Ferraris there, so we went out to kind of look at the cars, and it was like there was a band, so there wasn't any music really outside, and it was just like so quiet.
Yeah.
It felt kind of weird.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't our vibe. So we had a
thing to get to.
Yeah, we had a very important thing to get to.
Yeah. I also I DM'd Pierre Gasly to come to the bar that evening. Spoiler alert, he didn't respond, nor did he come. But
did he see the message?
No.
Darn. So yeah, we left the far, I mean, we were there what, 10 minutes? 15 yeah. minutes. Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to be real with you guys.
10 minutes.
It's just what, I mean, it was, I felt very cool to have been given an invitation and have the opportunity and gracefully move along.
Yes.
And then there was like a restaurant right next door with some stairs outside. And that is where Zoe put on her wig, which was funny. There was like a walking tour going on. Zoe's like putting her pink wig on in the streets.
I mean,
using the window of the restaurant as her mirror. So like there's people eating and she's just like fixing her wig while this walking tour is going on. It was it was incredible. And then we got to Coyote Ugly and yep. I changed in that bathroom because I was like, I can't change in the Ferrari party bathroom.
Yes.
Then I'll never be invited anywhere ever again.
Yes.
And wasn't that just a hoot and a half?
Yes.
It was so fun.
The first thing that was hilarious was we're in the bathroom, Hannah's changing, and we hear All Too Well 10-minute version playing at the bar. And we're like,
because Kaylee is a queen.
Yeah. Thank you, Kaylee, if you're listening. We find out later that our friend Kaylee was playing All Too Well. It was a good sign of things to come.
It was.
But we met so many wonderful people.
Mm-hmm. Finally met Kate Nicole IRL, which love him as much as I thought I would.
Met our new friend Malika, which mm-hmm. was really nice. She came up to us and chatted with us. We finally met Sam.
Yeah. Well, and I had so weird. I can't remember if we talked about it actually on the podcast, if it was before, but one of Nicole's, I think they like grew up together, right?
I think
or so. Have known each other for a long time. We went to school with, and I had a class with her. I can't remember if you did it or not.
I don't know for sure.
But yeah, I remember seeing something that they did about Love Island, and I was like, I know that girl. I think I went to school with her. So yeah, small world, and it was really good to see her. And
it was so fun. You would spend about, I don't know, what'd you say, $50 on?
Yeah, something about me that you should know is if there's a Touch Tunes available, I'm taking it over. One of my favorite things to do is to either completely change the vibe of the location when it makes sense. I mean, if it doesn't make sense, like if I'm the only person that's going to enjoy the vibe change, I don't want to do that.
Right.
In this particular instance, the vibe was required and we had a party, like we were at a party that had a specific theme and I was trying to do my best to support the theme.
Right.
Which included playing the Hoedown Throwdown.
One Direction.
Did I do Always Find Your Way Back Home by Hannah Montana?
Yeah, we did Style, Taylor Swift.
Yeah. What do we spend, 90 minutes on the bar?
I mean, Hannah and I
never left the bar.
Lived on that bar.
On top of it. I mean, it was just so much
on
fun.
On top of it.
Because it's a lot of Coyote Ugly. Encouraged, really.
Encouraged.
Although I think we maybe overstayed our welcome, but no one told me to get down, so I didn't.
Well, they were saying someone, I don't know if you said this or someone said that the bartenders want people on the bar so that they don't have to do it.
No, oh, good.
Because that's
so I was, you know, doing them a service.
Exactly.
Well, I should have gotten some tips then.
Exactly. But
or some free, you know, drinks or, you know, reimbursed for my Touch Tunes.
But just massive shout out to Kate and Nicole and the TG1F community, because
amen.
We met fiance Nick.
Oh, love fiance Nick. He's such a gem.
Wonderful. But
he's just so supportive. It's really sweet.
It's very sweet. But what a wonderful community that they've built mm-hmm. and people, and just a lot of very nice people.
Yeah.
And we felt very welcomed and included.
Yep.
And it was very fun. And I think, I don't know what you'd say. I mean, the race is almost a whole other thing. Like the stuff on the track, you can't even compare, but I do feel like it was a highlight of.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I wouldn't have missed it. And I had the best time.
Best time. And then we had to get back to our hotel because we had an early day Saturday because mm-hmm. it was quali day and it was our first day actually going to the track, which was very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we woke up. We drove. We had a parking.
We did our utida, which is what I call outfit of the day now.
Outfit of the day. We were real influencers in our.
I was trying.
My, you know, H&M and Target outfit. And what you were wearing. Well, you were wearing a Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, I was wearing bike shorts. But
so
then,
that was
cool. My Big Rick shirt.
Yeah. That was.
Big fan of that shirt.
Yeah, that was cool.
Thank God you told me to tie it. Honestly, it really changed everything. He still hasn't reposted me, by the way, guys. So. You know.
Well, I think I think it's like a weekly thing. Like they repost every week. So that's
shoot.
So I think that's why when he did it on the, I was like, oh shoot, you're gonna have to wait like another week for a potential chance.
Okay. Well, now all
everyone
of you
should go to Hannah's Instagram page and like her most recent post about Coda, because she's wearing her Big Rick t-shirt or Big Rick shirt. And we're trying to get Daniel to repost the picture on his Instagram stories. So go and like it or whatever, comment, because maybe then it'll be up on the
that's
hashtag
nice.
algorithm. So let's all everyone
Hopefully.
Get, you know, let's all band together and
J-Nuts, my dude. I don't know why I said that weekend. So wait, really quick, because the phrases of the weekend were pretty important. So at one point, Zoe said gracias, and I said de nada, my dude, which is the douchiest thing I've ever said. And it stuck. I keep saying it. I said it all weekend. And then the and if you know, you know. And I do think that maybe this can be clipped in, but it's a good question, that one. And just let me know if you know what that means. That's yeah. a I don't yep. yeah
that was fun.
Was there something? I feel like there was another one, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, those were the big ones.
Good question, that one.
So we get inside Coda on Saturday morning, and I have to say, when we can get into the, like, because we do have some questions from people who've asked us like specifics about the experience, but I feel like it was a pretty seamless
very
entrance. Didn't have to. Yes, we had to walk to the track. I mean, from the parking lot, but it was maybe what, 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was easy. Barely. And we got there early, so that we didn't early. Deal with any traffic. But yeah, I mean, it was seamless.
Yeah, I think we got there like at 9:30, maybe something mm-hmm. like that. And for context, the first practice session, or the only practice session, was at 2, and then the qualifying was at 5. So, you know, we got there fairly early. But we just kind of walked around, got a lay of the land. It was really very like just so much going on.
Yeah, right.
So much happening. We found Hannah's Valtteri hat.
Yes, hat. I was so excited. So I looked at buying it online, and when I saw it online, it was like, I don't know, what I would deem a quote unquote reasonable price, which is a different, my definition of reasonable is most different. Most people's definition of too much.
Same.
And but then because I was going to be shipping to the US, it was like £20 to ship. And I was just like, oh, okay, well, I don't need to spend $80 on a hat.
Well, then I saw when we first walked in, Hannah went to the bathroom, and I saw this girl leave. There's a bunch of all these merch tables, merch tents all around the whole track, all the grounds. But I saw this girl like walking away from the table, from the the merch desk mm-hmm. thing, holding the hat. And I could have sworn that the tag was like, it seemed like she had just purchased it.
Yeah.
But then when we were walking around, we couldn't find it. We were like looking at all the different stalls and stuff, and we couldn't see it anywhere. And we were like, maybe she just had it. And,
yeah. Or like got someone brought it to her as a gift or something.
But then finally it was like off on a corner. I was like, there's the hat.
I pulled, you know, U-turned, sat my backpack down, got my wallet out, and they were like, it'll be $80. And I was like, yep. And he was like, is that okay? And I was like, yeah, totally. And as I'm like paying for it, I was like, I realize that $80 is a ridiculous amount of money to pay for a hat, but like, here we are.
Yeah, and you'll have it and you'll remember it.
I just think it's funny that I was going to spend the same amount of money to buy it on the internet that I bought it. But you know, now it's a memory from Coda, not from.
And you wear it. You're wearing it.
Yeah, I'm wearing it right now.
Yeah. So it's now, you know, if you add up all the times you wear it, it's going to end up being like,
oh yeah, cost per wear is going to go down quick.
Yeah. But then we made our way over to the driver experience.
We got there in such a good time.
Such a good time. So for those, you've probably seen on social media, the internet, or you've been to one if you've gone to a race, but they do the thing where they have a big kind of amphitheater.
Pep rally.
Yeah, basically like a pep rally. And they bring each team out for like a 5-minute Q&A. Not really. Well, kind of.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. Chit chat.
And they had done a number, basically half the teams on Friday. And so then they were doing the other half on Saturday. And Hannah and I didn't know which teams we were going to see, because we knew that McLaren had gone on Friday. So right, we knew we wouldn't see
them.
Can
I have this dance?
Can I have this dance? But we didn't know
really anyone else.
Any of the others. And our TikTok friend Lizzie.
Oh, yeah.
Pit Lane. Lizzie came up. She found us in the crowd and came up to us.
She was so great. Nice.
We hung out with her. She was with us for the experience. That was fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed hanging out with her.
But yeah, we got to see Haas.
Yes. Red Bull.
Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes.
Williams.
Alpine.
And Williams.
So we got, there were six.
Did you say Williams already?
No, but there were six teams.
Oh, yeah.
Huh, interesting.
And Mercedes came out in two waves.
And Mercedes came out.
Lewis and George came out separately.
Lewis came out first, and then it was clear. At first, we were like, wait, why is George not with Lewis? And then it became clear that George was just late, and they just had to bring somebody on stage, and Lewis was already there, so... Mm-hmm. We stand a punctual king.
Yeah. So I did feel guilty that Zoe didn't get the chance to see Daniel, Lando, Pierre, and Yugi, but I felt blessed and highly favored.
Yeah, it was. It was good for Hannah. It was a good weekend. It was a good.
I mean, I would have loved the day before as well, but we did see Charles and Carlos. And I know you've like already seen Charles before, so it's not that interesting for you. But
no, it was interesting. And seeing Lewis, I mean, that was
king.
Yeah, and like he does have an air about him.
He really does. It's I would say I haven't like 180'd, but I've won.
Okay, hold that thought because there's a question about that.
It's maybe 40% in.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have to say, okay, on three, we have to say who surprised us at the driver experience. Who surprised us? Do you not have one? Oh, I thought it would be obvious.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
One, two, three.
Fernando. I mean, guy knows how to work a room.
Very funny.
Hilarious.
Very just,
he was. And like, good. Of course he is.
Yeah, that was funny. Oh, a little insight in case you didn't see it. Alex Albon, you know, he dyed his hair blonde and he said that he would dye his eyebrows blonde as well if he got points on Sunday.
So that's why he didn't get into the points.
Obviously we know he didn't get points on Sunday. So no dyed eyebrows for Alex, which maybe was for the
best. I do wish he would go a little bit because they were talking about the hair color and like, do we like it? I think it's a little straw. But I think it would actually look really cool if he went like platinum. Straw. It does. It's like straw adjacent.
Shout out to my mom. She knows what that's like.
It's not the right blonde. And I think it could be really cool if he did like a Taylor Swift bleach situation.
Yes. Yes.
Or it'd be terrible. I don't know, but definitely better.
Max also came out in the correct hat.
Okay, guys. Matt. Max and hat. So I hate when he wears a flat billed hat, and he wears a flat billed hat pretty exclusively. When he came out in a baseball cap, I was just like, okay, thank you. And then during the driver's parade, which I know I'm cutting ahead, but he wore his hat backwards.
Game changer.
I just was so appreciative.
Yes. Very, very appreciative. So then we watched a bit of practice. It was quite hot. But it was very cool. It was very, they were so, cause we had main grandstand tickets for Saturday and they were in the first row, so the cars were right there, and so we, when they were doing all their practice starts and stuff, like the cars were literally right there. I should have said something to Yuki because he was right there. I don't know what I would have said, but I would have been like,
Yukes,
I love you, or like,
too bad we didn't know about the hot Cheetos yet.
Yeah,
shoved him up his nose. And then it's like nine. My favorite though is when I eat hot Cheetos, I do that, like, because you're just kind of hurts, and he did that, and Pierre's like four or whatever. He was like, "These are terrible," and I was like, "Yuki understands."
Yeah, for those who don't know, they did this. I think it's on Bleacher Report. Mm-hmm. Did like these fun little videos with different drivers and teams, and they did this one with AlphaTauri where they had them try like
American snacks,
classic American snacks. And the first thing they tried was canned cheese, and they didn't know how to work the can.
I know. Yuki goes, just look, and he just dumps the thing upside down, and nothing happens. But he was so confident. And BDE.
It was funny. And they both really liked it, which is love. Funny.
Pierre's like, I'm going to put so many of these in my bag.
He was like, I'm going to draw a smiley face. That was funny. And then they tried fruit gushers.
Yeah, which my favorite was, Yuki was so panicked. He was like, oh.
Which was funny.
Yeah, they messed up.
They tried zebra cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre seemed to be more of a fan of those than Yuki.
Yeah.
And then the piece de resistance was the hot Cheetos, and Yuki stuck them up his nose.
I mean, there's flames all over the bag. He's been told that they're hot Cheetos, and he just sticks them up his nose. And it's like, have you seen the video of the kid who's just like desperate to try the Hershey's cocoa powder? And his mom finally lets him put them in his mouth, and his eyes just like only show regret. Yeah. That's sort of what his face looked like. The minute the like spice hit up his nose, he was just like, I'm stupid.
But it just confirms Yuki loves hot Cheetos, so therefore we all must stand Yuki.
Yeah.
So then we met up with our other TikTok friends.
Yes.
From the Formation Lap, Caroline and her husband Hayden. His name's Hayden.
They were so
formally introduced to him.
Okay. So I was like, oh, I feel terrible if I forgot. But that makes okay.
Yeah. But
they were so nice. He's also, we've got another supportive creator husband. And yeah, I mean, delightful.
Yes, very, very nice.
He held our bags.
So we recorded, we made a little TikTok, recorded a little other thing that will come out later, which was fun.
But yeah, so go check out. She posted the TikTok we did. So go check it out.
Super, super nice. And that was just really fun. It was just fun.
She wrote us a super nice note.
Yes.
I'm glad we met her.
That was great. And then we headed back to our seats for Kuwali, which was great because it was like 5 p.m. and the sun was no longer in our eyes. It was beautiful, stunning.
Yeah, the weather was
chef's
glorious.
Kiss.
Yeah.
Honestly, like the only thing I remember from Kuwali was Carlos getting pole. I don't really remember anything else.
It was kind of one of those, like, I think that was the first moment that I was like, oh my God, we're here. Like, yes, this is happening. Because we talked about it. Like, I haven't gone to something like that I haven't been to before in ages. Like, I get pumped to go to a concert, but I am a concert veteran, you know? Yes. I'm a pro. Yes. I've never done this before.
Yes.
So it was kind of like, oh my God, the driver, I think I said to you at one point, I was on the way home, I was like, well, at least we know the drivers are real.
Yes.
That was my first time of like, oh my gosh, the cars, they're right there. We were watching them practice doing pit stops. I was like, that's amazing. The sound like gave me so much joy. I mean, the whole thing, it was just, I was really soaking it in during qualifying, I feel like.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it was hard to stay like.
But it was exciting because.
My favorite was when they did the practice starts.
Yes.
Because they all like lined up right in front of us. And I was like, oh my God, it's real.
That was fun. But then what was so what was crazy, I think it was like in between maybe Q1 and Q2 or Q2 and Q3. I can't remember. You went to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there in our seats.
I do that a lot.
And this person tapped me on the shoulder and she's like, I think she asks, are you fan behavior? Or she either shows me our Instagram page and she asks, like, is this you? I can't remember exactly. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, so oh my God. She's like, I follow you guys. She's like, I was on your Instagram and I noticed, I was like watching your story and I realized, oh my God, this girl's sitting right in front of me. So her name is Julie and her husband's name is Jeff and they live in Kansas City, which is crazy.
So funny. Because I saw him because he was wearing a KC hat and I was like, oh, that's cool. But they kind of saw him from afar.
So shout out to them. They were very, very nice.
Very nice.
But she said that she listened to us on TG1F. She had heard us on that podcast. And started.
Thank you, Kate Nicole.
Yes. Thank you. Started to listen to us. And that was really cool. It was very. Yeah. It was just like a very small world.
Yeah, that's really funny.
To have people who've heard your podcast.
Yeah.
It's
cool, right?
Identify you as a
out
in the wild. And then Jeff was like, oh, I'll follow your guys' Instagram.
Yeah, which was so nice. So
thanks for the follows. Yeah. Great. But yeah, that was fun. And it was fun for like to see Carlos get pole also just because he hasn't gotten pole very much this season. So fun for someone different to get
it
pole.
Served him well too, didn't it?
Yeah. Ended up great for him.
I think P2 would have been better in this particular instance.
I agree. Honestly, he should just had Charles' penalty and then he would have been fine.
Interesting.
I think the PSA is don't be next to George Russell at the start.
Yeah, he's getting a little feisty.
But then we went back to our, at that point, by the time we got out of our parking and everything, like we didn't get back into our hotel by like, I don't know, 8:30 or 8:00. It was later in the day for sure. We got Chick-fil-A. We watched National Treasure 2.
Which, like, first of all we were going on was cable. What you don't know about Zoe and I is that National Treasure is a staple in our friendship. Yes. And so to get home with food and like Chick-fil-A and then just to sit in bed and eat Chick-fil-A while National Treasure 2 is on, it felt so predetermined.
Wasn't quite as much of a high as it would have been if it was the first one.
Agreed, because the second one doesn't hit quite as
at
this point. You know, it's kind of like the Grey's Anatomy thing. It's like really the boat's gonna explode too, and there's gonna be a shooting, and there's it's kind of like really he's stealing another important
the description of the second movie. I was literally like, I'm sorry, what?
I can't even remember what it was about.
Like,
but
he's trying to like clear his ancestor's name.
Yeah,
like, why do you care?
Like, it's Benjamin Franklin Gates. It's his legacy.
I know.
He's a treasure hunter.
Nothing will hit as much as when he says in the first movie, I'm gonna steal a Declaration of Independence. I think that's up there with Thomas Hamilton.
Oh yeah.
Because he's just Hamilton, like, and I'm gonna
steal. Because who's he talking? Is he talking to Riley? Riley's like, well, what are you gonna do? And he's just like, I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence, Abigail.
And it's iconic.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes. Okay. Sunday race day. We got up quite early because for Sunday we had GA tickets. We did not have assigned seats, grandstand seats. And so we knew
they were expensive.
Yes, very expensive. We knew we had to get there early in order to get a spot that we wanted and to deal with. And also we knew that this is going to be the busiest day in terms of lines and traffic and all that good stuff. So for that day, we had the shuttle pass to go to the track. And so we had to go downtown to then get on the shuttle to go to the track, which that ran very, I mean, that was a very smooth
very
experience,
smooth.
At least getting
and
in.
I do think it, like, we did, like, go early on both days.
Yes.
So I could see that maybe it would have gotten a little bit more congested if we had left later, yes, in the morning. But yeah, I mean, we literally parked the car, no issue, walked to the thing, got our wristbands for the shuttle, got on the shuttle, and left.
Yeah, I think we got there by
probably
about,
took 30 minutes for us to get, like,
yes, to get around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we, like, got on the shuttle at like 8 a.m. So, like, by the, you know, at the time that the gates were opening at CODA, we were on the shuttle on the, yeah, way there. So
and there wasn't much traffic when we got there either.
No. And the nice thing about the shuttle was that it took us right to the gates. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to schlep like we did the first day.
Yeah.
So we get in, we just had predetermined our spot for Sunday just based on
what we scoped out.
Yeah. And what we felt like was going to be accessible and easy and not too stressful and whatever. So we were in between turn 18 and 19, kind of like on that little straight area, which I felt like was a really good spot.
I really liked it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we don't have a ton else to compare it to, but
in terms of just like ease and again, not having to like stress and fight for space, it was,
yeah,
it was good. I liked being in a straight, mm-hmm, part. I liked,
there's a lot of activity. We could see turn one really well.
Turn one. Yeah, there was a lot of activity on that turn. Well, and ended up being activity on that turn. And I just, yeah, I,
and good, good accessibility for people who like couldn't see this part on TV. I mean, we were also really close. Like, it was a lot more, I feel like we had a lot more space than other places, but also we were in a really good location for like bathrooms and like food and stuff like,
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly. That was fun. We met up with some of our friends that, you know, from Friday, and they came and sat with us, which was really fun. Mm-hmm.
And unexpected, because, and like nicely unexpected. And I don't, it was funny because we had some, like I just thought it was going to be the two of us. So when Kaylee wanted to come hang out, and, yep, I was like, yes, please come hang out.
Yes.
But it was nice because for whatever reason, we kind of had this like perimeter around us and people weren't getting too close to us. Maybe because we're just so intimidatingly beautiful. That's probably it. But which worked out really great because then we got to sit with friends.
Yes. Yes. And we just hung out. We just enjoyed it. It was a pretty nice day. Got to see some of the other stuff that was happening on the track prior. Got to see the driver's parade.
Yeah, wow.
Which was very fun.
That was the moment I realized they were all real people.
That was it?
Not all of them, but well, like Daniel specifically. Because the other ones we saw the day before, but
that's true.
I was like, there he is. Hook him.
Yeah. That was the last happy moment for him that day. Probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't speak for him, but I kind of assume that
seems pretty likely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was fun. The announcer, I don't know if people heard this on TV, but there was like a guy that was announcing the drivers as they and teams as they came out to get into their cars. This guy was a fucking rookie, guys.
He said
Daniel was an 8-time world champion, which, like, don't we all wish he was?
Stop kicking a guy while he's down, man. God.
Instead of 8 race wins, like 8 wins, he said
and
8 champions.
To be fair, like, someone may have handed him a script that was faulty or he didn't do his research.
Right. But either way, bad.
But yes, yeah, someone screwed up because a championship and a race win, very different. 100%. Even I know that.
That would have made Daniel the record holder for championships.
Yeah, he would. Which, unfortunately,
all the others.
That's the case.
They said Alpine instead of Alpine. He said
Renault.
Oh, he's completely butchered Joe's name.
Oh, I didn't. What, oh, yeah.
News, completely.
Yeah, he like added some extra Z's.
I don't even know what he said.
Guaju or something like that. It was so terrible. Bad. I was just like, sir, I understand. I've heard it a lot and have. And I actually correct. I like make sure it was Zoe that I'm saying it right.
But you're almost, also not presenting.
No, I understand. You know. That's why I'm saying if I'm doing that, I right. expect someone whose entire responsibility is to say the name correctly to say yes. it correctly.
It was just like, what is this guy doing?
But yeah, that he said Renault, right? Or something instead of Renault.
I don't know. Did he? I don't.
Yeah. Think, yeah. He did.
I don't know why he would have said Renault. Why would he have said Renault?
Someone said Renault.
Yeah.
It was over the course of the week. Maybe it wasn't him. But it happened.
Yeah. Okay. So what were your thoughts on viewing the race the race experience as a fan in person.
The energy is unmatched.
Great energy.
I think one of the things that we kept commenting on was that the staff was really great, but the spectators were also really great. I think when you get in tight, confined spaces like that, outside, you know, lots of heat, tensions can get really high. People get really territorial, but I felt like overall it was like relatively quiet. Like obviously people were talking and whatever, but it was, yeah, it wasn't very rowdy.
It was rowdy.
It's like very, which I'm not surprised by, but you know, you just don't know because we've never been. So it was a very, you know, classy bunch.
Yeah. Everyone just was like there to have a good time
for sure
and enjoy themselves. And it didn't seem like people were, there also didn't seem, and I'm sure there's people that maybe have had bad experiences, but to me, it seemed like, whether you were a Verstappen fan, Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great race. I mean, there was a lot going on.
But I just mean, like, I feel like there were, like, I feel like we hear a lot about other races, how there's people burning Mercedes hats or just, like,
oh my gosh,
crazy things going on between fans and, you know, fans of one driver being rude to fans of other drivers and whatever. And I don't feel like there was any of that business going on. I feel right. like, I mean, part of it is that, like, everything's finished. Like, the championship's over. There's nothing left to fight for,
yeah.
In terms of like what's you know, so I don't know how much, yeah. But I felt like it was a good crowd, and I feel like if we also heard a lot of stuff about other crowds this year being really abusive, is maybe, I don't know if that's too strong, like, of a word, or not strong of a word, but like just like harassing, mm-hmm. like harassment towards women especially, or just, I've just heard a lot of negative Yikes. Things, and I feel like.
That I didn't never not any experience of any of that.
I thought it was very cordial. Everyone seemed to be.
It also seemed like a pretty respectful. Decent split of male female.
I totally agree.
Which was cool to see.
Yes.
And
in fact, and some, I mean, maybe I'm just because I am a woman, but I feel like there was
more
women.
Yeah.
In a way, like groups of women.
Yeah.
You know, there's groups of men too, but yeah, definitely a lot of women.
I mean, there were definitely lines in the bathroom.
Yes. Yeah. So if people are looking for a race to go to where they want to feel like comfortable and like they're in a good environment and good around good people, I would definitely say that the USGP is a good one to go to.
Yeah. And I will say, like, based on some of the horror stories we have heard about, like, especially just the experience without all of the like fan stuff, the facilities were very clean,
yep.
You know, I mean, when you have 500,000 people yeah. going through bathrooms and yeah. stuff, like, but it was very clean.
Experience before.
Every bathroom we went into, there was attendance there. It was always stocked. Like I was kind of fearful that at some point there wouldn't be toilet paper, but that was never an issue.
Totally
I also thought that it was going to be, if we were like in GIA, it was like porta potty exclusively. That was not the case. The porta potties were like an extra in case the bathrooms get like the lines are too long or whatever. So the bathrooms were always clean. I know Michaela from She Loves F1 was talking about, she was in the main grandstand the whole weekend and she was like, I never waited in line more than 15 minutes. But honestly, like, even though on Saturday we were out in the main area, like, I don't really think we waited much longer than that either.
No.
I think we were kind of strategic about the times we went, because we knew that like the hour before the race started was going to be kind of pandemonium. But yeah, I mean, everything was, they really had it figured out. And there's been events that I've gone to that like should be more streamlined and just aren't. And I just thought Coda really had it together.
Yeah, and with 400,000 people, over 400,000 people there, it was very well done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, but the race, how did you feel?
Yeah, I really like, I mean, it's interesting because there would, you know, it's not that I didn't expect it. It's like, but there is like, you don't realize how long, like, I don't know, 20 seconds is until you're just sitting there and not seeing any cars because they're like on a completely different side of the track. Right. And then all of a sudden they just like zoom around. So that was funny. I mean, it's just kind of funny. It's interesting. Like, I'm glad we were where we were because we could see what was happening on turn one, like I said earlier. So like we saw when Carlos and George had their incident. We saw the Fernando Lance incident from, right?
Wait, I don't think we did. No, I don't
think we did. Oh, maybe that was on TV.
Because that was like on a different part of the
track. Oh, yeah.
But the Carlos, and because we could tell right away that it was Carlos.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He was obviously the front Ferrari and we could tell it was a red car, but we couldn't figure out who hit him. And we were like, who was it? Who was it?
But then everyone like kept zooming past and we were like, what's going on? Like, you know, whatever. I will say, like, my overall hugely positive experience. And if anyone knows why the things I'm about to critique are the way they are, I'd be like really curious. But One thing that I found to be interesting is that I believe that a massive part of, and especially after experiencing it now, a massive part of the fan experience at a GP is the GA section of people. For a lot of reasons. One, it's more accessible for people to go because, especially when tickets are first released, they're a lot less expensive. The GA seats are always less expensive. And it allows hundreds of thousands of more people to be able to attend a race, which means more money going into the sport, more money coming into the cities that they're going into. Good for the economy, like we mentioned earlier. So one of my critiques is that the screen, so they have screens kind of strategically placed in front of the grandstands for the people who are sitting in the grandstands. I don't think they're big enough.
No.
Even if you're sitting in the grandstand, I don't think they're big enough. I mean, like, even when we were sitting in the main grandstand for qualifying, it's not big enough. And those people are arguably spending the most amount of money outside of people who are in the paddock.
Yeah.
So I think that those should be bigger. And I think that there should be more. I mean, I think there's sponsorship opportunity. Like, if it's a money thing, like, I think there's a sponsorship opportunity for someone to be, you know, screen on between turn 18 and 19. And because the people who are in GA matter too. And what was happening is that we were all on our phones on the app trying to, or, you know, however people were watching it, trying to understand what was going on during the race. And it's like, I just think it could really bring people, like, even more, keep them in if they can see what's going on. I mean, every other sports event you go, well, not every other, but, you know, football, basketball, whatever, it's like, even if you're in the top, there's a screen you can watch, like, you can see the score, you know what's going on. So the other critique, like, if the screens don't work or whatever, the leaderboard, there's only one, and it's over at the start finish line.
Yeah.
And even where we were sitting, you can't really see it very well.
You can see the first, you can see who's at first.
So what I would want at minimum is for there to be more of those so that people can understand what's going on. And especially because once, which I didn't even really think about, but once they pit stop, you're just like, I don't know what the order is anymore because everyone's kind of in different. And then the intervals, we never knew. Because what actually the guy sitting next to me when we were at qualifying even said, like, they weren't showing the intervals even on the screen during qualifying, which was weird because I kind of thought that they would have just streamed it. Like, if they're showing it on ESPN, why aren't they showing it to the people who were there?
Right.
So, but I mean, outside of that, like, it was really cool to, like, see it in action. I think for me personally, the energy was amazing. It's not that I wouldn't want to go to a race again, but I think I would want to be, I don't know. I think there's something to be said about, like, wanting to be there for the race day experience, but also wanting to, like, watch the, like, I feel like we missed, like, you were rewatching the race today. I feel like I need to rewatch the race to understand what happened. And I feel like in a lot of other instances, you don't really have to go back and rewatch the thing you were at to know what happened.
Right.
But there's a lot of holes in the story in a way, because
that's how it is. If you
totally,
if you're watching something where it's,
yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense. Yes. I think it's just, you know, I wouldn't have thought about it until, like, I actually lived it out.
Yes.
But I do think that there are ways to
improve the experience,
to get that, to have that experience. And, and, like, to me, that would, like, increase it by like tenfold. And it would, like, I would go to races all the time.
Right.
And I, and to me, they obviously, like, I don't know what the financial thing is for that. But to me, that it's a very small change that could cause a really significant impact. And Yeah.
I totally agree. I thought the when Max had his really slow pit stop, that was quite the moment.
Everyone was freaking
shitting their pants.
Yeah.
And for about 15 minutes, we really were like, oh my God, can Lewis Hamilton win this thing?
It was the most exciting thing. I mean, everyone was cheering when he drove by.
So exciting. We got to see Valtteri's little spin out. It was right on our
track. Yeah. And you know what? So we asked for that. And we didn't ask for it to be Valtteri. But we did say it would be really fun if there was a non-injury incident right over there in that gravel. Yeah. And
there was some good, like, I think Seb passed K-Mag, like, in that turn right at the very end.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
That was cool. He had a great race.
I don't know. It was really cool to, like, see how, I don't know, just, yeah, I as you said, you watch it on TV and obviously you understand it's really intense, but, and people who are fans of F1, you know, you shit on certain drivers, whatever, but you realize they're literally all going
so fast.
Honestly, the margins are so wild. Thin. Like, I know that sounds so stupid, but it really wasn't until this weekend that because there's, you know, when you're in a plane and you just don't feel like you're going that fast. Like when I watch it on TV, it's like, you know, they're going fast, but you can't really tell.
Right.
I mean, they are driving past you for like less than a second. And it just like, you know, it just happens. And you're just like, oh, my God. But the other thing I wanted to say about being there in person is listening to other people's conversations.
Oh, okay.
There was a group sitting kind of behind us. It was I think like maybe a mom and son and maybe his friend.
Guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to toot my own horn or anything. But this guy didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And I felt really vindicated and smart.
What were
and,
you saying?
Well, first of all, he didn't know who was going to take the AlphaTauri seat.
Ooh. Oh, no, no, that was the guy. That was the guy next to us. I was like, that was the older guy.
Yeah. Oh, he was. Oh, was, to the left of us?
Yes.
Oh.
The older guy who didn't know who was taking it because his wife was like, who's taking the AlphaTauri seat? And
he said they don't know yet.
They don't know yet. And we're like,
they sure effing do. Do you read the news? Like, anyway, I was just like, ha ha, DTS fan. Just kidding, guys. We stand DTS fans because we are DTS fans. And look, honestly, like, I'm not going to get off this hill. It's not an insult. So stop spewing it like it is one. I saw some people in our comment section the other day. Oh, you must be a DTS fan. No shit. I am. And I love it. Screw you. It's so fascinating. Oh my God. I was here. It's so nice that you are able to stay so relaxed in the comments. Cause I just like, I can't even respond. Cause I'm just going to cause absolute unnecessary chaos. I'm red right now. I'm like sweating. Anyway, but it was just funny, like hearing, and I think too, I'm like, I know that people do the same thing with like when you and I are having a conversation about whatever, but it is funny. Wait, like,
but what were the guys saying?
Well, I can't remember, but they just like didn't know what they were talking about. Okay. And I think they were talking about maybe Williams and like, oh yeah, they have absolutely no idea what's happening there. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, they sort of have a plan. It was announced yesterday. And it was just like, I think too, and I think the reason it was significant to me is because this whole like women are only fans because they're hot and they don't know what's going on, and look, he's one guy, I'm sure he's a wonderful person, he didn't do right. anything
he's,
wrong
he's totally
I just think yeah right exactly because no, totally I was looking at Zoe and I was like, if I was, and I don't know if I said this, but I was definitely thinking like, if someone heard me having this conversation, they'd be like, what a dumb bitch, like she doesn't know what she's talking about, she's only here because Daniel Ricciardo is hot. And you know what, we've said it before, we'll say it again, everyone likes watching hot people do stuff.
Yes.
It is a American pastime. We've been doing it for hundreds
pastime.
Of years. Did I say American?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a human race pastime. Okay. It's like, remember the gladiator games in the Colosseum? Like, look, I mean, it's been going on for millenniums. So let's all just, it's not my fault that I like a sport with hot athletes in it. Every sport has them.
Right.
I don't know where all that energy just came from, but it's thank true. You for listening. It really did. It made me so mad. Like, you can't say that to me. Unless, if you've been to Hooters, I don't want to hear you talk.
Right. And also, like, totally different situation.
100%. But also, yeah. It's just like, stop sexualizing also, the drivers. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Carl.
But also, like, what, you know, my, like, one of my favorite drivers is freaking Yuki. Like,
right.
I'm not, you know, he is, again, I've said this before, my son.
Yeah, right. Like, well, yeah. And like, your thing, what ticked me off is like, for anyone who hasn't seen the TikTok, Zoe was basically just like, I'm genuinely curious. If you are not a fan of Max, like, have you enjoyed this season? And all anyone could talk, like, oh, this girl's obviously a DTS fan because she doesn't know this, that, and the other. And it's like, no. Objectively, no one likes it when one person is winning all of the time.
Right.
No one.
Unless you are the person, like a diehard of the
okay,
of
yeah.
The
so person. I'm not a diehard, but like I.
Like if Daniel Ricciardo was winning all the time.
Yeah,
I
sure.
I would probably be
you'd be fine.
That.
And yeah. that, yeah. And I get it. But also at the same time, it's like, anyway, it doesn't matter. If you're interested in some frustrating entertainment, like go check out the comments in that video because it's so frustrating. But you know what? The comments were really nice in your DJ Lando TikTok. And like that. To be totally transparent, is the appropriate comment section for the DTS fan comments. I'm like, oh, you like it. And it's like, yeah, no, that's fair.
Well, let's get some context. Let's get some context. So this
what
to
part?
To the video.
Oh.
Because I don't think people, maybe that they don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, Lando's a DJ.
Like, well, yes, but he DJ'd at the Red Bull after party. Which
that we could have had tickets to.
Circling back, why I would have liked to have been there.
Yeah, I know, but I know.
But
I'm going to feel guilt about that for a while.
It's okay. And I just have this weird thing with him as a DJ. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's hot.
What it is. It's like cringe, though.
Yeah, it is.
Like, should be cringe. Okay, it should be cringe.
But today, and I'll maybe I can post it in our. When does this come out?
Tuesday.
We'll put it in our stories when the Siri, no one wants to talk to you. But the video I just sent to you earlier of him on kneeling on the ground with his DJ kit, and I literally just said, "This is giving Santa just bought me a new DJ set," and that is the juxtaposition of Lando Norris as a DJ, because there is this moment of like, "Oh, boy can get it," and then I'm like, "You're 11,
right?"
And it's very confusing. Yes.
Yeah. How many times did you watch the video of him DJ?
I mean, I would say 14 of the views are from me. Because song also hits.
Have you watched the full video, though?
No.
Oh, okay. You should watch the full.
Okay, we'll watch it after this. Clip. But yeah, it's a stitch. And so it's just like, I'm ashamed to admit this. But
And everyone thinks I'm young.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks I'm like.
You're a glowing beauty.
22 years old.
I mean, your skin is fantastic.
Thanks. But like, I don't think.
But yeah, because would you say I'm a 29-year-old? Who's I'm a 29-year-old. And everyone's like, 29?
Yeah, people were shocked to hear that I was so old.
No one said that about me.
Not yet.
I know. I'm kidding.
But it's like funny to me because I'm like, okay, wait, they think 29 is like ancient? You know, like the difference between 20. But to be fair, I've always said I feel like my 30s are going to be like my
reputation
golden,
era.
Well, like my golden year. Like that's like where I really just like get like
thrive.
Yeah, thrive. And so if I'm going to look at 33, if I'm going to look 27, then like that's great.
Yeah,
like, that's
game
what
on.
I'm going for. So thank you to those who think I look young.
Yeah, so far, so good.
I'll take it as long as I can get it. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, overall, fantastic experience. I loved it. I genuinely had a lot of fun. Like it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And very positive. And Daniel Ricciardo finishing P16 or whatever he finished couldn't even bring me down.
Okay. I have one more thing to say about Daniel Ricciardo.
Uh-huh.
I saw this TikTok and I think I sent it to you. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, but I've been saying it at least between the two of us for a while. His car is not the same as Lando's. He's being treated differently. They're sabotaging him. And yeah, DTS fan. It's bullshit.
It is. I don't know that necessarily that the car. I mean, of course, like the setups are different.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I know.
You know,
but it makes no sense.
Yeah. His post race.
Oh my God. It broke my heart.
I mean, I've never seen him quite so.
Yeah. He was just like, honestly, like, I don't know what to tell you. I think. Why the most recent TikTok I saw of this guy basically being like, it's sus that like his car is not even competitive with Lando's car. It's weird. Right.
It is weird also for someone of his caliber and the kind of driver he used
correct.
To be.
And that was like the whole point of this thing. And honestly, it was because of Daniel's post-race interview where he was just, it felt like he just had so many thoughts of like, and I'm totally projecting, but that like he also feels mm-hmm. like something's going on.
Yeah.
Again, projecting. He never told me this.
Well, he did. He was like, we need to figure out why. Like, I'm not just like a tenth or two tenths off.
Right.
I'm like a chunk off the pace.
Right.
He's like this. Something is. And maybe he was alluding to like something's wrong with the car. Like there was an issue or something.
I mean, I'm not saying he is in on the theory that they are, you know, putting holes in places in the car.
I do think there is something to be said that like. Not that they're sabotaging him because I think they do genuinely want to finish P4 in the constructor.
Yeah, sure. But they're focusing on Lando.
But also like, I do think there's a part of them that do want to kind of make like they, I don't think they wanted a situation where Daniel had like, after they let him go, where he would like really shine. And then people will be like, why did you let him go? I think that's something
hits.
No, but I think there is something that they kind of like the fact that he's proving them right. And in a sense, right? Like,
yeah, but you know what's gonna tick me off, and I know the car will be different, whatever.
Yeah.
If he's just like flying around beating the shit out of Lando, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm whatever.
I'll move on.
I've reached the acceptance phase of all.
I'm just in an antitrust phase.
I was gonna say something else.
Also, sorry, I've been cursing so much.
Oh, it's okay. What were we? Something about Daniel Carr. Oh, Marcus Ericsson. Mm-hmm. Was at the race, former F1 driver, now IndyCar driver, and he said that he talked to Daniel and Daniel basically told him, like, I am ready for this to be over. Like, I'm ready for this to be done. Like, I'm like, basically, like, he's just
like
done.
F1.
Just, no, like this whole season. Yeah. He's just like, he's done. Like, he's checked out. But then he also said, Marcus Erickson said that he invited Daniel to come to the Indy 500 race this next year. And Daniel said, I can't. I'm going to be in Monaco for the F1 race. Which
Marcus spilling the tea.
Obviously, I think means, I mean, we all know he'd be a reserve driver, but he'll be in Monaco, guys, and I'm going to be there. So fuck yeah,
let's go. To get a ticket. I mean, I have to be in Monaco, whether I actually do anything there or not.
Yeah. So
also Toto Wolff and Daniel Ricciardo's
merch. Toto Wolff and Daniel Ricciardo merch, which,
and Kim Kardashian sunglasses.
I mean, I actually kind of want to like frame that picture. I want to put it like.
You should do that for Halloween.
What?
Toto Wolff and Daniel merch. You should just be Toto Wolff and Daniel merch for Halloween. You only need to buy one thing.
The pair of glasses.
Yeah, maybe a wig.
Exact shade of the
blue.
The sweatshirt. But
that was the sweatshirt the guy at the Harry Styles concert was wearing.
Okay. Yeah, that was iconic. And so Daniel to Merck is confirmed. You heard it here first.
Wow. Wow, Marcus Erickson, I mean, that's so interesting.
We don't see, we never saw any, like, did we ever see Zach Brown wearing Danny Rick merch? No.
No, but you know what Zach Brown did do? He drove in a Formula One car this weekend.
Yes.
I'm just going to let that sit.
Okay. Let's get to some of our questions that we got from people.
He didn't drive in Formula One, did he?
No.
They just let anyone behind the car? I mean, I know he's not anyone. I'm just...
No, not.
He doesn't
anyone.
Have a super license.
No, but he's not racing, so he's fine.
It was a joke.
Okay,
didn't land well, obviously.
I'm gonna run through some questions that we've got from some of you all on Instagram. Some of them we've already kind of answered, so I might skip some of them just because we've already answered them in our just normal dialogue. Okay, someone asked how we got tickets.
Oh,
so we did not buy them when they went on sale originally, and. Initially, we only were going to go on Saturday. We only had plans to go Saturday because we were going to go watch the race like Sunday somewhere else, like out downtown Austin or something. And so where do we even buy our tickets for
SeatGeek?
SeatGeek. So we got them resale, which, you know, if you're wanting them cheaper, that's not the way to do it.
No. I will say, though, I like buying, if you haven't ever bought from SeatGeek before, I do like buying from them because they show you like a POV of what the view from your seats. Which I think is nice. And it'll like actually tell you what row you're in and what the seat numbers are, which some of the other resellers don't always require that. But I think it's like a standard on SeatGeek, which I really like.
I would say for tickets, it is a bit confusing. Like I got my tickets for Monaco, like the Monaco qualifying a few weeks ago. And they all kind of go on sale at different times. And it's hard to kind of know when things are happening. So I would say,
did you get GA or are you?
No, we're in the grandstand. Nice. One of the grandstands. I would say that if you want tickets to a race, a Formula One race, go to the Formula One website, go to their ticket part of their site, and you can sign up to get alerts when certain races go on sale. So if you have a certain race in mind, they'll email you when those tickets go on sale. That way you won't miss them. That's what happened with us or with me. I got an email saying that the Monaco tickets went on sale. And so I got them, and they typically release them out in stages. So they'll release like one batch and then they might wait a couple weeks and release more. And I know that's what happened with Coda. There was like multiple GA, especially GA ticket drops. So if you didn't get them in the first wave, you might be able to get them in the second wave. So might take a bit of research, but there are ways to figure out how to get tickets. Someone also asked like how much it would cost to go for 3 days for Coda. And I would say it depends on where you want to sit. I know people that got GA tickets, 3 day GA passes for like $300-something. If you want to do grandstand, it's like going to be like $400, $500. Again, it all depends on, especially with the grandstands, like which grandstand you're picking from.
Right.
Because main grandstand is more expensive than turn 9 grandstand or whatever. So it does require a little bit of research, a little bit of figuring out what you want, what you don't want. I know Kaylee, who we've already mentioned, she messaged us and she had grandstand tickets for the weekend. I think turn 9. She had turn 9.
Yeah.
And she said to us that if she were to do it again, that she would actually just get GA tickets for Coda because she felt like the GA tickets or the GA spots, you could still see basically the same amount of the race from GA that you could from the grandstands. So,
and one thing that surprised me, and it's going to sound like the wrong word, but I thought, I didn't realize, like, unless you're in the main grandstand or like obviously paddock and whatever, like the clubs, everyone has the same privileges. It's just seating. So like you don't, because when I remember, like when I said I thought bathrooms were only going to, like, that's just one thing to think of. Like GA gets everything that the grandstand does. You just don't have an assigned seat.
Yeah. So if you don't want to camp, if you don't, or not camp, but if you don't want to like have to get there early to find a spot or like worry about if it's just like two of you and worry about your stuff or like having your stuff get taken or something, not that it would, but just keeping your spot, get GA. But if you're going with, like, if you're going with a group of people, I would say,
I think GA is more fun.
Yeah. I think it's more fun. It's totally, I mean, it was totally great.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like squished. It was like we're hanging out, honestly, like at a park.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I agree.
Like the space.
And I would say, like, I liked that we had like qualifying in the main grandstand, because I think that experience is really fun, but it is like getting 3 days in the main grandstand is more expensive. So if you're going on a budget, like, I definitely don't think it's a prereq. And I think you can also get Saturday and Sunday passes. So you could get like main grandstand tickets for the Friday stuff and then get a 2-night or 2-day GA. There was another, the only from Coda, and I can't speak to many of the other turns, so I might be wrong on this, but turn one is the only one that like had people like camping to get to turn one.
Yeah.
But like when we got there, would you say we got there like 8-ish? And I mean, the hill we were on, like there were definitely people there already, but it was pretty
totally fine.
So easy to get a seat. And I don't know if someone's already asked this, but I do think if we did that again, we would get some sort of camping chair.
Yes.
We decided not to because we didn't want to lug them around, because we just didn't know what the experience was going to be like. But I would say, like, and not one, I mean, some people had big lawn chairs, but I'm more talking about like the little, some of them I think are foam, some of them kind of fold up small, but basically like your butt's basically almost on the ground, but you like can like lean your back on it a little bit.
Right.
Gives you a little bit of extra space, but also saves your back from crinkling.
Somebody asked if we saw Wags. We saw Carmen.
Did not see any other Wags.
Yeah, not that we at least recognized. Someone asked, is it worth getting tickets for Friday? We didn't go on Friday, so I don't know.
I think I would, though.
I think I would, too. I mean, again, you can get very cheap GA tickets for Friday. And yes, it's just practice that you're going for. You have to go into it, I think, like, yes, you're going for a race weekend, but you're also going as like, it's, I don't want to say festival, but like,
but it kind of is.
And
there's stuff going
on.
That's not, I mean, that's like, they have really cool activations where, like, I think they had simulators set up and you could practice like doing a pit stop. And like, there was all these other things that like, there are activities.
Playing music.
Yeah, there were rides.
I wanted to go on Friday just for the
driver experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to like,
that's really cool.
Yeah. That's very cool.
I like that they do that.
Yeah. And I would honestly just go for that and go to like sit down. And the other thing too is, especially with Coda, like you can just bring in basically whatever you want, like drinks, food. So honestly, like set up a blanket or chairs or whatever and just have like a little picnic and hang out with your friends and see some cars go by. Sounds like a nice time to me.
Yeah. And I think they do a lot of their media stuff on Friday, I think, like on the track. And I think if you have, like, you can be there when that's happening.
Yeah.
So obviously, depending on where your tickets
Thursday
are.
Too.
Oh, Thursday, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. This is the question I was
going
to ask you before. Well, they said, did going to a race change your opinion on any drivers?
Yeah. Well, it didn't really change my opinion on Fernando. I think it just made me appreciate him more.
I think we've always, I don't think we've ever been Fernando haters.
No.
We've always been like,
I roll.
But also, like, I found myself fiercely defending Fernando when he got his penalty after the race.
I was pissed about that too.
Bullshit. He did not deserve that. Also, like, punish him for literally, I saw today that, like, the speed that he was going at when he like did his wheelie crash was like, I guess the speed of like a small airplane taking off. Yeah.
He could, crazy. I mean, he could have flown away.
Crazy.
I mean, it was so scary. Like watching it back is insane.
He didn't flip over. It was crazy.
I know.
But yeah, I was like, I've always appreciated the chaos that Fernando has brought to Formula One and brought to just like everything that he touches.
Mm-hmm.
So that hasn't changed, but
I interrupted
you.
No. So my opinion on Fernando has definitely it's confirmed yes. that I feel about him the way I do, which is that his chaos, like I have to laugh at him creating chaos and game. Like he does it on purpose. It's a bit.
Yes.
And it works. And sometimes it's really annoying and sometimes it's hilarious. Yes. Lewis, I've had a really confusing time with Lewis because I think when I was watching Drive to Survive, it was this whole what's going on with Max right now, which I find like, okay, you're the best. We get it.
Which is so funny because like Max is your favorite driver.
No, I know, but Max wasn't my favorite when he was the best. I like Max from Drive to Survive. Like I started liking him during Drive to Survive.
Yes.
And I'm also
But what I'm saying is this confirms how you really feel because Max is your favorite.
Oh yeah. Because I hate that he wins all the time.
Right.
I find it so boring.
Yes.
Like I wanted Lewis to win. So we saw him at the driver experience. And he's just a doll. He really is. Yes. It still does throw me off how much he has started looking like my ex to me, but that's neither here nor there because he's not, which is too bad. But he is so sweet and charming and you can tell just like genuinely appreciative. I think his like media persona is very difficult because it's so like how Harry is now. He's media trained out the wazoo.
Yep.
And I think he kind of had to be, and that's fine. But I think I saw a lot more of his personality because he was interacting directly with the fans rather than through the camera and like an interviewer.
Yes.
And when Max had that horrible, horrible pit. I mean, I don't think since I've become a fan, I've seen a pit stop so terrible my whole life.
Well, Sebastian Vettel then had a terrible one like 5 minutes after.
I know. And I didn't.
Which I don't know if they even showed it.
Yeah. And we kind of heard about that like through the grapevine. That was the other thing. It's like you can't really hear speakers too, like you can't hear the commentary, and that might be for the driver's sake. Like I don't know if there's a real reason for that.
Oh yeah,
but that is also a bummer because it's really hard to hear. You can't hear any commentary. But I wanted Lewis to win so bad, so bad. And I actually said on our last episode, I don't know if it was our last, but on an episode before we went, that I wanted Lewis to podium, and actually I wanted him to get a W, is what I said.
Yeah,
which is gross. And he did not, but I was so excited for him. I actually really do want to go back and watch the race so I can hear Bono say it's hammer time. I did put it all together on the drive home.
Hannah didn't. She thought he was just like, it's hammer time.
Like, well, it was just one of those, like, you know, when you just hear something, but then you start talking about it and you say it. And so you start putting the connections together in your head. I was like, oh, he's saying hammer time because his name is Hamilton.
Yeah.
You know, we all have a moment. Yeah. Eventually. And I was like, brilliant. I love that. Love Bono. It was so sweet. I saw the like a little clip of them after. So look, yes. I don't want Lewis to win all of the time either, but right. I want him to, like, I'm excited for him to get back to his former glory. And like, I think I also recognized how difficult the season must have been for him.
Yes.
Because to see what it's like and how easy it is for Max to win right now. Was how I feel like he had some different circumstances than Max, and maybe not all the races were as easy or whatever, but like it's got to be so tough to go from seasons like Max has had to what he's like, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. And I'm really excited for their car for next year because I think it's going to be great. And the trifecta of Grussell, Hammy, and Big Rick with a Toto cherry on top.
Does it get much better than that? I don't know.
No, it literally cannot. I cannot wait to see Daniel drive a Mercedes. I will RIP me. And I want them to make the Mercedes.
Well,
black.
If he actually, I mean, like drives in some FP1 sessions. who knows if we'll get a race. And also like when Lewis wins, Formula One wins. I believe that to be true.
Yeah.
You know, like his success is good for for the success of the sport.
And honestly, like let's get Yuki.
Oh my God.
This is the thing. It's like, this is what makes this sport so tough sometimes. Watching it, it's like, at a certain point, it's like, you may very well have a team that, like, I think we've talked about this whole like P5 thing of like striving for P5. I think there's something really beautiful about that. But I also think it can be really frustrating because, like,
what about P3?
Yeah, but like the Cinderella story, you know, like during, you just don't always really get that in the same way. Like,
yes,
to know that you support a team that's literally going to go seasons without ever touching the podium.
Right.
Sucks.
Right. But you get your Pierre Gasly Monza moment.
Yes.
You do get your occasional thing every once in a while where the stars align and,
totally.
They have to align the right way for those teams to win. And that is so exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's ironic because at least some of the chatter I've seen, like I think all these new rules and regulations were supposed to even out things a little bit more. And I think they've
like brought the midfield tighter and closer together, but they haven't. It's pulled the top a little bit up.
Well, yeah, because Red Bull's bought too many sandwiches.
Right. If Yuki ever gets on a podium, I cannot.
Oh, you will weep.
I cannot even tell you the kind of person.
I can already see you're going to laugh so hard you start crying.
If it's Pierre Gasly, if we get a Pierre Gasly Alpine win with a little Yuki AlphaTauri, whatever, P2, P3, and then, I don't know, like, who else would be a fun podium that doesn't get them very often?
Valtteri.
Sure, Valtteri. That wasn't what I was going to say.
I was just looking at my hat on the camera.
Really, I would just care about Pierre. I would love a reunion of Pierre and Yuki on the podium.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to experience it as a fan, not as a viewer of DTS, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay, some more questions just really quickly because I know we're running out of time. Someone asked if we saw Brad Pitt. We did not.
Which was a real shame.
Though apparently that was the only reason any woman wanted to watch F1. Someone asked, what did Danny Rick smell like? Couldn't tell you.
I wish I knew.
Never smelled
sadness.
Him. Never saw him.
Tears.
I mean, you know, didn't see him up close. Someone asked, how typical do you think your experience was as a woman?
Interesting. I would say probably not.
Okay.
Based on what I've heard. Well, what you said earlier.
I mean, it was more positive.
Oh, I think
yes,
so.
Yes. It was a positive experience.
Hugely positive.
Unlike other.
Oh, I see. I apologize.
Yes. No, no,
yeah.
No,
I truly, as far as being a woman is concerned, nothing bad to say at all.
Totally. There was never any. We never got like harassed or like had anybody be like sort of question our fandom or why we were there or.
No, if anything, the two males that we interacted with the most were supportive, like content husbands, which was like the nicest thing ever. Like,
yes,
Nick was so sweet. He was like, you know, we all kind of took turns getting, you know, he was just so nice, like at the pub crawl and all that. And then Hayden.
Yes.
Delight.
Yes.
And I was just like, yeah, this is great.
Yes. It was a great experience. That was, we answered some of the other questions in our, you know, as we were talking before. So, but yeah, overall great experience.
10 out of 10 would recommend.
10 out of 10 would definitely recommend. I think we have to make it an annual experience for ourselves I say ease. Obviously driving 10 hours is not ease, but
no.
And
if we plan a little bit better, maybe we can fly next time.
Right. But even if we don't, I mean, the fact that we saved however much money we saved, $400 or whatever, it would end up probably more because it would be expensive to fly from, you know, because prices would surge. It makes it a reasonable experience.
Like, for sure.
And in terms of price for us,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. I don't know that we have any plans to do Miami. I don't think it's necessarily something that we're like dying to do. I mean, I'm going this next year, like Miami's only a few weeks before Monaco anyway. So I don't know that doesn't make financial
sense. There's a certain set of circumstances that would probably.
Right. If anyone wants to invite us, we're ready and able.
Mm-hmm.
We would also, we've said this on, did we say it on TikTok somewhere else? We would like to go to Azerbaijan. We would like to be paddock princesses, as we like to call it, in Baku. Please.
Yeah. If
anyone has connections, can get us into that Baku paddock, we will get ourselves there. I will do it. I will go fund me, Venmo request everyone I know to get me there. I'd like to do it. Basically, I guess because Monaco is obviously street circuit. Baku is a street circuit. And I'd like to go to Singapore, which is also a street circuit. So I'm going to hit up all the street circuits.
Singapore would be a good one.
Very fun. Yeah.
Vegas. Been there. And also the circuit itself, kind of a snooze.
At
least it appears like it's going to be kind of a snooze.
Yeah. And like too much fanfare, too much other stuff, not enough. Like it's too much about all the other.
Yeah.
Thrills.
But I'm not saying I wouldn't go. I just want to be, we have to be very careful because.
Oh, yeah.
If you want me there, I'm there.
Literally go to any race.
True.
If anyone wants us there, Australia will fly. Saudi Arabia. Sure. I'll go. Get me there. Yeah. Where else?
Mexico City, Brazil.
Mexico City would be fantastic. Brazil, oh
Silverstone.
Yeah, I mean,
I did. There was an interview that I was seeing, where they asked them, some of the drivers, like a circuit that they would, or a city that they would like to have a race in, and they said London, and I was like, but Lando made a good point that it would be way too bumpy, but a London street circuit would
New York too.
Dope. Yeah, Charles, New York would be cool.
I was like, oh,
yeah, Gunter said that too.
Sick.
Like, yeah, that would be really cool.
Streets, that would be awesome.
But they would have to do road work for like 11 years to make it happen.
Bouncing up and down, side to side, like a roller coaster.
Also, well, I'm sorry I keep tangenting because I know this was like our CODA recap, but there's also been some other pieces of news that have come out and I just don't want it to go past this. But Sauber.
Yeah.
I keep seeing people wanting Seb to be the principal of that team. And I'm just curious if you think that that's something that would actually happen.
I don't know. I feel like his whole reasoning for getting out of F1
is like family time.
Well, family time, but also like, I think he's very aware of like the environmental impact that F1 has on the world. And like, I think he had some interview or was in some like panel interview earlier this year where people basically like, and it was like a civil conversation, but mm-hmm. they were like, you're such an advocate for like the environment. And
yeah, I saw this the other day.
You drive like in this sport that like they're going all over the world and flying jets and huge things to transport people, and he's like, don't you think you're a bit of a hypocrite? And Seb was like, yeah, I am. So I just wonder if he would, I don't know that
I got
you know, would come back into the sport that's contributing to that, but I think they've also expressed that they're going to make efforts to like
carbon neutralize.
Yes, but anyway, but he'd be great at it.
He'd be great at it. And he did plant over 200 trees at CODA, so
he did. We love Seb. And then Mick, you know, because Audi is a German brand and they want German drivers. And so people think that Mick could, if he takes off next year, that maybe he could get, which then is like, who's losing their seat at, which, you know, it's now Alf. Cause so Audi, so Sauber, it's like, Alfa Romeo is the Sauber.
Understood.
Audi's coming in. So it's going to technically be the Alpha team. So if Mick is being brought into Audi with you know, who is then getting removed?
Well, you know, it sounds like Valtteri may be exploring other options.
Yeah, he might be towards the end of his road with
like choosing to just
do other things.
I'm going bike racing.
Maybe do IndyCar.
Thank goodness I got this hat when I did.
That would be fun. I would also like to see him in IndyCar.
Okay, this is the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to be done. Kaylee, first of all, Kaylee, if you're listening, hi. She's hilarious on the internet, and but she reposted the TikTok that I sent to you of the the F2 podcast.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't remember the name of it now. Hilarious! I cannot wait to be obsessed with them. I'm so looking forward to it. I like cannot wait. I'm like, I need to listen. So Marcus feels like a bit of a shit and I love it.
Okay.
he's got a very like George Russell, but like Daniel Ricciardo situation.
Okay. Wow.
Thank you. And Nick Carter.
Liam.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Liam Lawson.
Yeah. He seems like a fun time. I mean, they all are really, they bring such an interesting dynamic. Like they're like a boy band in their own right. Just like there's a personality.
Yes.
I'm just really excited to learn more about
them. Figure out how to watch F2.
Yeah. If anyone knows,
and we should
let us know.
We should watch. I don't know that we've discussed watching any of the last races together, but the final F2 race is on the final F1 weekend.
Oh, okay.
Abu Dhabi. And we should watch it.
Yeah, I would love to.
Because it's also gonna be big time. I mean,
yeah, because that's the size of Logan is coming in. Or if it's going to be Colton Herta. We know it's not going to be Colton Herta.
But Colton Herta, this is literally going to be the longest episode of our life.
Oh, I love it.
Colton re-signed this deal with Andretti for 2027. But, which is kind of
Andretti
shocking.
Comes into F1?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly. So I have to imagine. Part of me wonders if he feels like this was his only shot of getting into F1 with AlphaTauri's situation, mm-hmm. and like maybe his time has passed. But also like maybe Nick DeVries is going to suck next year. I don't know how long his contract is, but like it's a bit shocking to me that he wouldn't have a shorter contract if he felt like he could get into F1.
Right.
But the fact that it's being pushed.
But he also may know something that we don't know, which
just
is
have a sense of like, yeah, maybe there's a better likelihood of Andretti coming into F1.
Interesting.
We don't know.
I'm excited about that.
So he might be coming in for real at some point. I mean,
I'm also curious about Indy. Like, does James still drive for Indy? Or no, we that no. ship has sailed? Yeah, that's
long,
too bad.
Long
but time. I love that James Hinchcliffe is a part of the F1 commentary team.
Yes, only in America. Also, I saw
that's where I am.
ESPN, an article came out today that they're like, there's talks or they want, I don't know the specifics of the language. They want Daniel to be like in their commentary. They basically wanting to create an ESPN commentary team about F1. And they want Daniel to be a part of their team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think
that, do that.
I think he could do it with as a reserve driver. I think he could. Because technically,
do you think it would be too painful?
I think I don't know.
I love it though. I mean, I want him to stick around.
And I thought this earlier. I was like, if whenever they decide to, because there at some point, which is a bummer. Because and I really like, please, for the love of God, like we do not need American announcers F1 race. Like, keep the Sky Sports coverage. Like,
please. It's so much better.
So much better. Like, this is our plea.
And I'm not trying to hate on it, but like you. My point was proven when the announcer at the freaking race pronounced everything wrong.
Right. Well, and also, I mean, compared to that, he may not be like an F1 person, but like they'll have like motorsport people that do it, but they'll be lamos. And unless they hire like Jensen Button and what's his and freaking Crofty, they pull him out from Sky Sports and bring him over to ESPN.
I don't want it. Should we make a petition?
I need to hear Crofty.
Kind of not
joking.
I need
to hear Martin Brundle. I need,
oh my gosh.
You know,
the Brundle Buxton tee.
Oh, so
first of all, that would be a phenomenal merch. Buxton Brundle, English breakfast tee.
Yeah. Wow. Buxton clearly dug himself a bit of a hole.
He did.
And it's interesting because I think I told you this. So, again, for those who don't
know. Did I cut you off from another story?
No, I was just talking about Sky, but I was just saying,
yeah, you know, Sky Sports, Sky Sports forever. No, seriously though, Sky Sports forever. Like, I don't want your commentary, no. ESPN, and like, don't bring some ex quarterback in
there. Like, I'll tune in for whatever. I don't think he's doing like race coverage. I can't imagine him being like a race commentator. That would be very chaotic and he would be bad at it.
He wouldn't have the attention span
and just like wouldn't, but he probably would do like post race, pre race, whatever.
Grid walk.
Like, yeah, that would be funny. I'd watch
he would
that.
Be in it. Excellent.
Yeah, just don't change it, please. Like, we don't need it here. But the Martin Brundle. So for those of who don't know, Martin Brundle does the grid walk. You know, if you're listening to this at this point, you know that. And he tried to talk to Brad Pitt on Sunday and Brad Pitt basically snubbed him. And everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, you don't snub Martin Brundle. And you come into this paddock, you come into my house and you disrespect me. And then Will Buxton
was trying to defend Brad Pitt.
Which was like, why?
Yeah, correct. You why? Never needed to be here, sweet.
You didn't need to be here. And
I appreciate the sentiment, kind of, but I'm like, what vendetta do you have?
Against Martin Brundle.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm sorry that he stole your lunch, but like...
Yeah, maybe he's pissed he's doing the grid walk.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, so then Will Buxton tweets and says basically like, we get a list of celebrities who come to the race every weekend, and the ones who don't want to be interviewed, like identify themselves, and like Brad Pitt either like was on the list, like wasn't on the list of people that they were allowed to talk to.
I think that's how it
and
was.
So basically he was saying like Brad Pitt's off limits. Martin Brundle shouldn't have even tried to interview him. Then Martin Brundle responds and he's like, basically like, shut the fuck up, Will. Like, that's not true. And then.
But I will say too, that is true. Like, that's a real thing that happened. I'm not saying that in the F at, you know.
It is. Yeah. It does
but that
happen.
Is a real thing that it does happen.
Yes. But then Will tweeted back and like
receipts,
but like showed a PDF file, basically PowerPoint of like all the celebrities that were there. That
yeah, it was like the face sheet of everyone who's coming and like there's, you know, who they are. And
but the real kicker was that so many F1 journalists responded and said, I don't get that. I've never seen that. And it became a little bit clear that maybe Will Buxton's the only person that's getting this.
I did not understand because I did see like, his tweet being like, I'm my apologies. I didn't realize that not everybody gets this.
Yes. And like Jenny Gao, you know, who we see. Yeah. Side, like she was like, I've never gotten this before. A bunch of other F1 journalists were like, I don't get this.
Oh,
and so people were like, maybe it's
Billy Buxton
who will that people don't want like going around. And maybe it's, you know, Will Buxton. Yeah. The whole thing. I mean, who knows? There's a lot at play here, but it was funny.
I also think like whatever with the whole Brad Pitt thing, like you are there. Like I understand if you didn't want to be interviewed.
Yeah.
But you are a public figure.
Yeah.
You are an actor.
Yeah.
And someone has cornered you.
Right.
Act your sweet way out of it. Like you don't owe anyone anything, right. But like you don't have to be, and I didn't see that interaction. Have you seen the video of
he
it?
Like basically was like Martin Brundle went up to him and was asking him about the F1 movie he's yeah. making, and Brad was just kind of like no thanks, kind of just like brushed him off.
Okay. Which you know, I'm just kind of like, why?
Yeah. And also if you don't, I mean,
don't
anyone,
go out there.
Right. Anyone who knows anything about F1 knows that like if you're on the grid before a race, like people might come up to you if you don't want,
like even if they don't know who you are, like even if you're some rando,
yeah,
like he'll talk to anybody.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, I mean, which, I would gladly, is, I would.
Oh yeah. I'd be like yeah, talk to me immediately.
Yeah. I'll tell you everything I feel. And
yeah.
Yeah. If I was a celebrity, I'd be the best at the grid walk. Everyone would be like, Zoe's here. She's going to like,
yeah,
drop some knowledge.
Correct. Wow. It's been a straight hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah. So sorry for the long ass episode. We just had a lot to talk about. But it was great ass time. Thanks to all of you who, you know, asked questions on our road trip while we were driving,
yeah,
kept us entertained, followed along our journey. It was felt like a real milestone moment for us as a podcast and as a duo. And like, you know,
it's really cool too, to like put a like name and a face to the people that listen and yep, that follow us.
Yep.
I'm so glad you had your first in the wild recognition moment.
Yep. That was fun.
I had mine. And now we will just continue having them and making, yes, friends. And it's so fun. Yes. Feels really cool.
All right, guys. Well, if you've made it this far, please leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah. Please, I know we've tortured you for almost 2 hours, but for God's sakes, leave us a review.
Leave us a review. Write a review. We've gotten some really nice ones recently.
Yeah, we have.
So much appreciated to those who have left them. Mm-hmm. We see you. We're, yeah, thankful for you.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Also, merch is on our minds. If you have any thoughts, feelings, suggestions, can't promise anything, but would be curious to know what you're interested in.
Yeah. All right, guys, until next week.
Love you. Bye.
Ciao.